And do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you're serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there's no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, and let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I'm going to invite Ben up and we'll just pray for him. Okay, Father, we want to thank you that your word, even though written, this passage was written 2,000 years ago, it still speaks to us today. And so we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would open our hearts to what you want to say. We pray for Ben that your Spirit would equip him to communicate something of you to us, Lord. And Father, we pray also for our children and our young people as they're learning this morning things from your word that you'd teach them to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Good morning to you all this morning. I've been reading a book this week, and the vicar got up to adjust his mic because it wasn't working, and he said, "Can everyone hear me okay?" And someone from the back shouted, "I can, but I'm willing to swap." Now, I hope there's no one today that's going to move. But So how are you all feeling this morning? I hope you've had an enjoyable weekend. No doubt you spent your Saturday with the family, or you've made the most of your National Trust membership. Maybe you've spent time in the garden, just quality time with family and friends. But unfortunately, Sunday is here. You've had to drag yourself here this morning because apparently clipping your toenails is not a good enough excuse not to come. You've also got other things maybe you'd like to do. But as you wake up this morning, there was something in the back of your mind. You weren't quite sure what it was at first, but it's a familiar feeling, that Sunday feeling. There's something growing at the back of your mind, and you do quite well to distract yourselves throughout the day. Over Sunday lunch, the afternoon activities, you know it's there, it's growing, but you do a good job of distracting yourself from your dark passenger. Then the evening comes. Night is drawing in, and you allow yourself to say the words, "Oh, I've got work tomorrow." And that's it, isn't it, for a lot of us, for a lot of people. We spend our weekends, particularly our Sundays, wishing that Monday would never come. Then we spend the rest of our week, wishing that Saturday would hurry up. We're endlessly wishing our lives away. And do you know what's really hard about all this? About being a Christian at work? Not only are we on this monotonous treadmill with everyone else, but we have to do it with a smile on our faces. Now, my first job was a paper round when I was 12 years old. I couldn't wait to start. Out in the fresh air, earning a bit extra money, on my bike, getting exercise. The thought of being able to buy lots of extra sweets was very exciting. Now, my training started on a Saturday, and I went round with my trainer, who at 14 was taking retirement. all seemed to be going very well. It was easy enough. You check the address, you check the paper, you pop the paper through the door. Easy. Monday came round for me to go it alone, and as I woke at 6 a.m, in the darkness, I pulled the curtains back to torrential rain and dark skies. Suddenly, the paper round didn't look quite so appealing. I managed to limp round, but I got absolutely soaked. My delivery paper had disintegrated, and I delivered the wrong paper twice. The next morning, I knew what it was to dread work. I decided I needed early retirement. I did limp round for 2 weeks, the second of which Bruce actually drove me round. I was the only paperboy in charge with a chauffeur. Do we as Christians see work as a curse from God or a purpose for us? It's easy to see work as a necessary evil, something we have to do to live. We accept it because, well, it's everyone's cross, but we don't like it much. We can't wait till our lottery numbers come up or we can take early retirement. As Christians, we may blame the fall. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles, and you will eat the plant of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. We know that the world is not as God originally intended. Sin entered the world and cursed the ground, meaning a lifetime of toil and struggle, just to keep on going, to keep on living, to keep on working. I know I'd much rather be strolling naked around Eden. There's a thought for you. And what are those actively seeking work? We know how difficult it has been in the current economic climate. Companies have been laying off rather than taking on. Many would love to work, but Mondays means endless trawls through familiar websites and meetings with unsympathetic advisors. Monday presents no less dread and anxiety for those actively seeking work. And what of the retired? Those of you that have worked for all your lives on the daily treadmill of working life, you're now enjoying the fruits of your hard labour. Well, I guess you probably now do enjoy Mondays, but you still have lots to do throughout the week. You may even find yourself busier now than before your retirement, visiting friends, looking after grandchildren, or volunteering at Forefront. I underline that one. So regardless of where you are at the moment, whether working, running the house, looking after children, volunteering, studying, caring for someone, seeking work or retired, we all know what it's like to have the pre-work blues. Or maybe you don't. Or maybe you don't mind going to work, or at least it's a chance to escape from the other things in your life, to reinvent yourself, away from the kids, the mortgage, the wife. Work is an opportunity to put on an alter ego. At work, you're funny, you're popular, and you do a great impression of the boss. You enjoy going to church on Sundays and maybe even life group throughout the week, but you'd rather leave God at home or at church. I don't think God would like it, to be honest. That Paul Brazier is so uncouth. In preparation for this message, I read an article on the Telegraph website, and it was entitled, "Why Admitting You're a Christian at Work is So Difficult." And it tells a story of a young fashion executive in London working for a glossy women's magazine. No one in the office knew that she was an SC, a secret Christian, regularly attending church, leading services, even sitting on the church council. No one in the office knew of her scandalous double life. Her work and personal life were separated, and in her own words, never the twain shall meet. Now, I guess largely she did this because she felt her work friends wouldn't understand, or they'd change their relationship with her, or they'd make fun of her. But maybe there's an element of wanting to keep her life for herself or one part of it. But Jesus said, "I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge me, him, before the angels. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels." So sometimes we think of work as a place to escape and hide from God. As long as we work through our list, keep our heads down, and we get out at the end of the day unharmed and unnoticed. We rationalize this attitude by not wanting to offend our colleagues or distract them from their work. Or do we consider work a necessary evil, something we have to do to get by and live? Our punishment for living in a fallen world. But God's perspective is very different. He loves work. He invented it. For God, labor wasn't a punishment for sin, but part of his design from the very start of creation. Not only was it part of the design, but he wanted to be included. He wanted a partnership with us. Genesis 2, 4-7, "When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God's trigger for making mankind was to work the ground, to cultivate the soil, to take part in his creation, while he sends the rain. God's intention was for us to work together with him, in partnership through the Holy Spirit. This was God's intention before the fall. It's God's intention now. And it's God's intention when he returns. Sorry if that's bad news. And in the first chapter of Genesis, as God forms the universe and the world, God created, he moved, he separated, God called, God made, God gathered, God placed, God blessed, and God worked. God's labor wasn't forced. He wasn't bored. He didn't do it reluctantly. It was his choice. He loved it. He enjoyed it. He marveled at it. He said, "Wow, this is great. My labor has created something amazing." There was a young graduate in America called David. Now, he got a summer job working for a produce company. The truck drivers and the warehouse staff were looking forward to this. They couldn't wait to make sport of a young, wet-behind-the-ears graduate. Then the news broke out that David was a Christian. This was music to their ears, and they were even more determined to make David's summer miserable. But in one short summer, David turned that produce company upside down. On his very first day, he took his lunch behind the warehouse. He got out his Bible and started teaching a Bible study to the homeless people that lived there. And if that wasn't enough, he even shared his lunch with them. To the staff, this was ridiculous. They jeered and they mocked. But within a couple of weeks, David had transformed that produce company. More homeless people came, and David's little Bible study suddenly became a sanctuary for battered and beaten men who came to hear the word of God. Gradually, some of the other employees, hardened men who'd once vowed to cut young David down to size, started enjoying his company. They began talking to him on their lunch breaks. They asked him for advice. They asked him to pray for their kids. By the end of the summer, everyone loved David. He was the unofficial company counselor. In one summer, David had a profound impact on that company. He always worked hard, but never lost sight of the people around him. He was kind and gentle. his words full of affirmation and encouragement. He was cheerful. He displayed quiet dignity and strength of character that drew people to him. He lived a loving, Christ-like life in the marketplace. He let the light of Christ shine, taking Jesus to work with him, and I expect everywhere else. What will it look like for you this week to live out Jesus in the workplace? What impact could it have? If Christ has authority over our lives, if we accept his offer of grace, we cannot leave him in the car. We cannot leave him there and spend the bulk of our day pretending we don't know him. Christ's impact on our lives, it spills out into our work. And just like David, we can't help but share the gift of Christ with those around us. Through our hard work, through our actions and deeds, and through our conversations. We've received the greatest gift in history, and our acceptance of that gift came with instructions. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And for those that follow Christ, that same spirit that God used to create planets, galaxies, to align stars, to manufacture diverse life on earth, that's poured into our hearts, and as it overflows, we can use it in every part of our lives, even work. So that when we get home from our busy days, we can say, today, with the Spirit of God, I worked, I created, I moved, I called, I made, I gathered, I placed, and I blessed. Thank you, Lord. Today was very good. Now, the average person is awake for 16 hours each day, and we spend 8 of those hours at work. That's half of our waking hours throughout the week. So what happens during those times are really important. They matter to you and me because it makes up such a large part of our lives. It matters to our work friends because they've got to put up with us for 8 hours. And it matters to God because he wants us to use those hours for his glory. Whatever we're doing at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, whether we're sat in the office sharing stories about the weekend, or sat on the computer applying for jobs, or standing in the post office collecting our pension, God cares. He wants to be there with us. He wants to help us, and he wants to use us. Now, this may be a frightening thought for many of you, but you may be God's A plan in reaching your colleagues with the good news. God doesn't want any to perish, to go into work alone. He wants to be with them. He wants to be a personal, loving, heavenly Father to everyone. And because we spend half of our waking week at work, you might be his best chance of reaching them. They'll likely have no other experience of God except through you and what they see in your lives. Do your colleagues see Jesus at work in your life? Do they see his love for them? Do they see his grace through your actions? Do they see his attitude towards work? Do they see his love and respect for the boss? If I'm honest, I'd have to say no to most of these questions. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." When we commit ourselves to diligent and godly labor, our good works of the marketplace, we will cause others to look at our lives and marvel at the difference that Christ makes. Your colleagues demand that you show them before they ask you to tell them. So we must show them the reality of what we believe by the way we live and work. Colossians 3:22-24, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Obey your boss. Submit to their leading all of the time, not just when they're in the room. For your true boss, Jesus Christ, is watching. He sees what you're doing all of the time. He knows your heart while you read the job pages or plan your lesson or milk the herd. For when we work hard, obey our leaders, and dedicate that work to the Lord, he rewards us and we let his light shine through us. Now, I consider myself extremely blessed. After working for an estate agent in Ilminster, I worked for the family business, Impey, out of Ilton. And for the first time, I was able to work in an environment that embraced Jesus. I didn't have to hide the fact that I went to church. I didn't have to hide the fact that I had faith in Jesus. To be honest, I was probably more fearful of not sharing because Bruce was always watching. Also, there were others there that shared the same belief. They did the same things as me on a weekend. But we could talk about it. We could share it. And as we did that, other people asked. Other people were involved. We invited people to church services at Christmas, and they came. We held carol services in reception. Bruce shared his faith during update meetings. We partnered with Christian charities and supported various Christian projects, with which others there loved getting involved in. Largely through Jackie, the company was bathed in prayer. Certainly not everything was perfect, and we made mistakes. Many things went wrong. But we always tried to share our faith and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the good news. I remember once the book people came in. They brought a box of books. I guess many of you have them at your own offices. You choose through these books, or you look through the books and you can choose which one you buy. Now, this particular week, there was an illustrated Bible. And we were quite interested to see who was going to order one of these illustrated Bibles, if any. Bruce looked down through the order list, and to his surprise, a young man called Phil had actually put his name down. Now, Phil had earrings in both ears. It's those ones that make the earlobes grow. You know, you have holes in your ears by the end of it. He was covered in tattoos. Across his back, there were zombies coming out, and there was all sorts of things on his legs. He was in a death metal band that toured Europe as the drummer. And he was a very unlikely character to order one of these illustrated Bibles, which he did. Now, Bruce was so pleased about the fact that Phil had ordered this Bible that I didn't have the heart to tell him that it was illustrated and he was going to use it to copy for tattoos. Let's hope that Bible's still intact and that it actually has done something on Phil's heart. So, spiritual rhythms. Now, we may not be creating or shaping the universe, but whatever we are doing tomorrow, it is important. Whether we're going to work or looking for a job or looking after our children, doing the housework, or if you're retired and working in the garden, we all have a chance to look back on our day and say, this was very good. We have a chance to let the light of Christ shine. So practically, how do we do that? Come out a bit funny, but I think you know what it says. First and foremost, pray for your week ahead. At Forefront, we talk a lot about praying first, but maybe you pray a lot for your life group. Maybe you pray for other church activities, or you pray for missionaries overseas, but you forget to pray about the week ahead. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will succeed. Colossians 2:23, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. This may sound selfish, but pray for yourself. Pray that you will have the right heart and mind and soul and body to follow Christ in every area of your life. Ask God to show himself to you in a new and miraculous way each day, and allow God to work in your whole life. Pray for your workplace and your work colleagues and the people you come into contact with. When you meet daily challenges, ask God to help. Seek his advice first. Let him ease and calm your anxiety. We often plow through in our own strength, either thinking we know best, and we don't give God the opportunity to help. That's not the best answer. Often our daily challenges are God-given opportunities to test where we put our faith. Do we trust in our own strength or the strength of the Holy Spirit? That same power that created the universe, that empowered the disciples to speak boldly, and that gave them strength during extreme opposition. In an ideal world, we'd all be morning people. The family would lie in to 8 o'clock. Our quiet time would start at 6, and that would sustain us for the rest of the day. Now, I understand that this is very difficult and certainly not possible for many people, but it's certainly important to get into a regular routine of study, of spending time with God. Now, for some, the morning does possess the best time to meet with God, to read his word, to pray for the hours ahead. But whatever your daily routine is, we need to ensure that it includes a quiet time. Or maybe if you're married and have family and time is pressing in the morning, how about sometimes praying over breakfast with each other? Just asking God to use you at work or at school. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said something. Temptation, while accompanying the working day, will be conquered on the basis of the morning breakthrough to God. Decisions demanded by work become easier and simpler when they are made not in the fear of men, but only in the sight of God. He wants to give us today the power which we need for our work. Gain strength from Christ's body. Start the week the right way. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. As you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your heart to God. See, as we come together as the body of Christ with a heart that is open to God's teaching and admonishment, as we sing together and pray together, as we share coffee together, the Spirit strengthens us. It prepares us for the week ahead. And by being part of a life group, we have the opportunity to gain strength throughout the week. So if you're not in a life group, sign up. Christine will expect a rush. Daily life can be tough. It's challenging. It often tests our faith. Sometimes we stand tall. We pass the test. Sometimes we fall. We make mistakes. But God's grace is sufficient. We can pick ourselves back up. We can learn from our mistakes. And he strengthens us for the next challenge. And that strengthening often comes from sharing our lives with our church family and being vulnerable enough to come and ask God for prayer and ask for help and prayer. Being part of the body of Christ means that we are part of an amazing community that loves each other, that cares for each other, and wants to support our daily lives. Work hard for your employer and for God. Ephesians 6, verse 6. Work hard, but not just to please your masters when they are watching. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord, rather than for people. It sounds simple, but I know it's not. Work hard all the time, because our true boss in heaven is always watching. Those who know me well know I'm ultimately programmed to be lazy. I struggle to motivate myself to work, especially when it comes to doing things I don't particularly enjoy. That normally involves the word cleaning or washing. But I know it's wrong to be lazy, and I fight against it. Sometimes I succeed, sometimes I fail. But when I truly realize I am working for Jesus, it does motivate me to keep trying, to keep going. Embrace every task with enthusiasm, as if you were doing it for the Lord, even cleaning. He sees your work and rewards you. And finally, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Whatever you're doing tomorrow, whether at work or at home or volunteering at Forefront or looking for a job or enjoying your retirement, remember it is Christ that you serve. And your hard work and the heart that you put into it, it doesn't go unrewarded. Your Heavenly Father sees what you do and how you use it for His glory, and He credits it to you as righteousness. You will enter heaven not dashing through as one escaping the fire, but confidently, as one who's built something of quality for the Lord. I pray that God has spoken to us all this morning by His Holy Spirit, and that we've been moved to reflect the light of Christ as we start another week. That the shadow that starts to grow on a Sunday, particularly in the afternoon, will no longer be our burden, but our joy. That we may look forward to the week ahead and the opportunities that it possesses. To be a Christ-like light to those around us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you invented work. Lord, that work is part of your creation. Lord, help us to remember that as we go forward throughout this week. Lord, forgive us for the times when we do things with the wrong heart. And Lord, we pray now that you would help us see your love for work. Lord, help us to have that new attitude for work, that it would be an opportunity to share you with our colleagues. And Lord, that we pray this week that the light of Christ would shine in our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.